Let me ask you a question. Has anybody given up on Jesus? Come on, have you given up on Jesus yet? Is it over yet? Come on. It's not over, and he's still alive. He's still doing what he's going to do. Amen? And he wants all of us to know that he has a plan for us, but it's not up to him completely. Let me say that again. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, but it's not up to him completely. You have a part to play in that. Amen? If you'll turn to Romans chapter 4, I want to talk to you about faith, but about specifically the faith of Abraham and how it applies to us, because God has put inside of us the very same faith that Abraham had. God has put inside of us the very same potential that he gave to Adam. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think I read it somewhere a few years ago, but when God made Adam and he put him in the garden, he said, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to be fruitful and to multiply. In other words, he wasn't saying, listen, you're in the garden and I'm just going to bless you. He said, I'm putting you in this garden, but because you're a man who's anointed of me and has the same potential as I have, I'm not saying that we're gods, but you have the same makeup that I have, I want you to be in this earth and I want you to do two things. I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply. I like that. God is not an addition God. God's a multiplying God. And his change has, I mean, his mind hasn't changed. And it's the same for you and I today. And it doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our circumstances. I want to tell you that it matters our faith. Let me say that again. It matters our faith. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that and go through the progression of Abraham a little bit to see if we can identify with some things and then maybe pick up where we are and say, God, I'm going to go forward with you the rest of my life, believing you for more than I have. Glory to God. Somebody said this, if you can do what your goals, if you can accomplish what you've set in your mind for your goals by yourself, then it's not big enough. Right? Because God always puts inside of us something that's impossible for us so that he can show up. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to get excited for you. So if you don't get excited this morning, it's okay. I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 4 says this. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God's promise to you is always through faith. God doesn't need the faith. You need the faith. His promise to you is always based on what you believe and how you're operating in faith. Come on. Come on. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. But because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Basically, what that all boils down to is just this. When the law came, the law was good. You know, do this, do that, do this, do that. And everything of that was good. It was proper. It was right. The only problem was that we couldn't do it. None of us could do it. Nobody could keep the law 100%. Some thought they could, but their pride was a violation of the law. Right? So everybody is in the same boat. But that's good. Because there's a way to get the righteousness of God, but it's through faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us. Amen? Amen. But we also can operate in that faith. And I want to get some steps in here, and then we'll go back into Genesis and look at look at some things. Watch this. And I like that Abraham is the father to us all. I don't care if you're male, female, black, white, yellow, whatever. God has set Abraham as the father of all of us because the covenant from God to Abraham is that through him all nations would be blessed. And the blessing that he's talking about is a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's available to all, and it makes us all one together. Glory to God. I believe that God has set apart the Jewish people, and I think God still blesses those that bless them and all of that. But the reality is that we're all the same in his sight. Glory to God. We're either in the faith or outside of the faith. And the only way to become righteous is through the faith. But let's look at Abraham and the faith. Glory to God. I like this. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Glory to God. It's the same God today that's in your life, that was in Abraham's life, that wants to speak life into you. And even the things that seem impossible to you, he wants to call them life to you. He wants to call them fulfilled in you. He wants to multiply in your life, but it's up to us to believe that and to begin to act like that. Glory to God. You'll see it clearer in just a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, and again, when it says hope in the Bible, it's confident expectation. So if it's contrary to confident expectation, it's impossible. You can't believe for that. That's not going to happen. That could never happen. Don't you understand your circumstances? There's no hope for you. There's no hope for your situation. Do you know your age? Do you know your circumstances? Do you know what they did? Do you know what they said? Do you know your financial situation? Do you know what it is? You see, when you're looking at that, you're looking at the wrong thing. See, because contrary to hope, he believed in hope. So contrary to hope, and hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations. He became the father of many nations because God gave him an expectation based on his promise to him that he could believe. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's the same for all of us, that we need to get to the place where we're expecting again. Right. We're expecting again. We can go through life and life can smother us and we can just go, well, you know, it is what it is. Just another day. That ought to be an insult to the Christian mind and the Christian heart. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because my expectation is something grand is going to happen because he's in me. He's with me. He's for me. Who, contrary to hope, I believe in hope. What does that mean? That means in the midst of impossibility, there's a possibility. Glory to God. I believe that. I believe that. We have to be as strong in faith as the character in Dumber and Dumber. Oh, everybody, look at me now. Come on, what are you talking about? One guy says, listen, there's a 99.9% chance that that'll never happen. And one of the characters turned around and said, well, then you're saying there's a chance. Right? Come on. We've got to be at least that in our hearts. If God is for us, then who can be against us? We have to raise up our expectation level, but not just based on a wish or a hope, but based confidently on what he's promised. Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. What has God spoken to you? What have you read in the Word of God that's a promise to you? And are you living with an expectation that that is your reality? Right? You have to get there. Now watch, let's go on. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he promised he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not that it was written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. Here's what I'm saying to you. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then our expectation level of what he can do in us and through us has to grow. It has to be there. It has to be involved. We have to be ready to get involved with God and get involved in the things of God. We have to go to prayer with expectation. We have to live our lives with expectation. We've got to quit having clouds over our head expecting the worst to happen and begin to expect God's favor on us. Believing for God's favor, what does that mean? That God has favored us. We're one of his favorites. Zachariah is God's favorite. Did you know that? But so is Marty. So is Bonnie. So is Anita. So are we all. We're his favorites. Come on. And good things happen to favorites. Let me just tell you a story this week. We're building the ADU, and all of you know that. And so we had to amend the soil, and they give you this pamphlet on amending the soil. And what you have to do is you have to, you know, rake all the rocks off and then put topsoil over the top of that and then till in that topsoil to 6 inches and then rake all the rocks off again and you know, this whole process. And so I did all that. In the heat, I mean, it was hot while I was doing all this. And I had some help and some people helped and everything. And then on top of that, you had to put the topsoil. And then we had to have a flower bed type of thing that took X different soil. And it took mulch on top of that. And you had to have receipts for all of this. And they said you had to have the documentation for all of this. And so I'm thinking, I did it to the best of my ability. And I'm going, oh God, we need this to pass, right? And I don't care about this. All seems silly to me and ridiculous, but in order to move into the house, I've got to have this done. So we got it all done. I called for the inspection, but I said, Lord, I thank you that I have favor with the inspector. I thank you that I have favor with the inspector. I thank you that I have favor with the inspector. Thank you, Lord. The inspector got out of his car. He walked up to the dispersion trench, and he said, well, that's what I was talking about. He looked over. Well, I see you got topsoil. It's all good. I had this documentation of this. He didn't look at any of it. So I was a little bit ticked off, actually, to be honest with you. But on the other hand, it was God's favor. Right, the prayer was answered. It's like he went above and beyond. But we have to believe that we have favor with God. We have to have an expectation that that favor is going to make a difference for us. Because if we don't, it won't. Watch this. You know, how many know that you're saved by grace? But that's not all. You're saved by grace through faith. The grace is extended to you, but you have to receive it by faith. And that's true with everything that God has for us. Look again. Look at this. Verse 19, it says, and not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. That would have been something to discourage you. Right? You're going to have a child. It's going to be by Sarah. Have you looked at her lately? She's 100 years old. This is not good. But he looked at the promise over what he was seeing in the natural that was, and he became fully persuaded that what God was said he'd do, he was able to do. Now, I like that he was fully persuaded, but he didn't start out fully persuaded. He didn't start out fully persuaded, and Sarah was definitely not fully persuaded. She laughed at when the angels came and said, Sarah's going to have a baby. She went, ha, 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 that's funny, right? I've had, this is the circumstances that I've lived with all my life. I wanted to have a baby when I was a teenager. I wanted to have a baby when I was 20. I wanted to have a baby in my 30s. I wanted to have a baby in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s. By the time I got to 80, well, you know, whatever. But God was saying, no, it's not too late. Right? It's not too late. Watch this. This is really good. We need to have vision of God in our circumstances in order for the faith to come to being so that we can receive what God has for us. You need to live your life out of vision. What is vision? It's the ability to see. God said in Proverbs that my people perish for a lack of being able to see. My people perish because they can't see it. God wants us to begin to see again. God wants us to begin to look again, to begin to expect again. You might say, well, you don't understand. I mean, I believed God for years and years and years and nothing happened. And so I became dull in my faith and just going on with my faith. But God wants you to say, no, listen, just because it hasn't yet happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. God spoke to Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2, and he said this. He said, listen, I'm going to speak to you, but I want you to write down what I'm going to say to you, because when you write it down, it will be before the people, and the people will not be able to deny it. And when it comes to pass, they'll be able to look back on what was written and see that it was I in their midst. It's time for us to begin to write some things down again from our expectation level. Come on. We sing songs that we need a move. We need a move. But are we expecting a move? Right. We need this to happen. His healing's in the room. Great. But do we expect when we pray that people are going to be healed? Or if we pray too many times for people and nothing's happened, that we've lost our expectation? And God is saying, listen, it's time for us in this room. There used to be more of us, but does that hinder our expectation level about what he wants to do? No. Glory to God. I believe God, and it's coming to pass, and I'm not through with God as long as he's not through with me. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think that, you know, circumstances are circumstances, right? I mean, if you don't have money in your bank account and you need to pay a bill, there's a problem, right? There's an issue. But what we do is we turn to every worldly way to try to get that accomplished and get worried and frustrated instead of saying, okay, God, you're my provider. What do you want done here? How do you want me to handle this? And then when God speaks to us, act on what he says to us so that we can do what he wants us to do. I don't know. It didn't change because of the president that's in the office is maybe somebody that you don't like. It didn't change the fact that the impossible is still possible for those who believe. Come on. But our deal is that we've got to look at the promises of God, get fully persuaded that they're for us, begin a vision of them coming to pass. Come on. Hallelujah. You all have had vision for something that was promised to you. I've told you this story before, but I remember for my, I think it was my 12th birthday, my dad promised me a BB gun, right? But he didn't buy it yet because my birthday wasn't. But he said, on your birthday or the Saturday after your birthday, we're going to the store and we're going to get that BB gun. Man, I was already planning on the things I was going to shoot with that BB gun, right? I mean, before I got it, I was ready, man. I was going to shoot. Awesome. But the day came, and I was fully convinced that my dad was a man of his word, and on that day, the expectation was realized. Right? We have to have that same expectation and the planning of what it's going to be like when we see the manifestation. Glory to God. I will see the manifestation, not because I'm something special, but because I'm believing what God has promised to me. God has promised to me. God has said, by His stripes I am healed. God has said to me that He would supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. God said to me that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God has said to me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so I never plan to have to beg. I never plan to be without. Come on, because God, the same God who brought manna, the same God who brought ravens to the hungry, the same God will supply my needs no matter what the world looks like and no matter what's going on in the situations outside of what He said. Come on. But we have to get our vision back of the promise of that God has put in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see a vision when it says, the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. He leads me to beside still waters. Come on. He puts a table in front of my enemies. Have you ever visualized yourself sitting down at a banquet in the middle of your debt? Come on. In the middle of the physical symptoms that you're going on, in the middle of what your kids are doing, if instead of getting all excited, sit down and eat. But eat with God. Eat with His promises. Get fully convinced that what He promised He would do. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. See, I believe that the Bible is true. I believe that the Bible is for me. I believe that what God said and what He promised is still true to me today. And I believe that even if it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean that it's not on its way. Glory to God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Now faith is. It's right now. Faith is not, well, I hope it's going to happen tomorrow. Someday in the by and by I'll get it. No, I have it now because God said I have it. And His opinion is the only one that I'm asking. If God said He'd supply my needs, I have that right now. My needs are supplied right now. The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded. He was convinced that what God promised, he would have. And even before his son was born, he believed that he was going to be the father of many nations, and that promises was going to come through Sarah. Didn't start out that way, but it ended that way because he let the word of God and the promises of God begin to show him that. Look at, again, 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot and his brother's son and all their possessions, and they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Watch this. Faith always requires action. Faith is always, you always have to be moving toward faith. In other words, if God said this, I'm planning on this and I'm going to move toward this, right? But I love Abraham because Abraham is a great example for me that I may not have it all together right now, but if I'll stick with God, eventually I'll get it. And you can go through in many different places. It says that he went out and he showed Abraham the stars. And he said, look at all the stars. He says, look at all the stars because I want you to get a vision of how many kids you're going to have. And then he said, well, that's not working. Let's try the sand of the sea. You see all the grains of the sand at the beach? So are your kids going to be. Now you think he's 75 years old when it started. I know they lived a little longer back then, but still, right? See, he wasn't going to see that in his lifetime, but God allowed him to see it before it came to happen by giving him vision. We have to have vision of the provision when we don't have the provision. We have to be able to see it in our spirit and know that we 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 know that God has promised it, so therefore it's mine, not based on my actual physical being able to hold it, taste it, touch it, see it, but the fact that God spoke it to me, I believe it. Come on. Hallelujah. And we have his word for his promises, but I'm telling you, too, we have his spirit on the inside of us. Did you know that you can know things in your spirit and put faith to that knowing, even when everybody else goes, pats you on the head, you know, and says, well, that's okay. You know, I mean, that's okay. You know, you just had a little too much pizza. If you begin to develop a relationship with God and listen to that still small voice, he can give you vision, right? For a promise. Don't look at her, look at me. Listen, if you... Watch this. I would rather look at her too. But anyway, he can give you provision by vision. So that you can have it before you see it. Because you see it with your spiritual eyes. Because the same God that wants you to go forth, to bear fruit, and to multiply is still working the same way through you. But it's up to us whether we're going to have little faith or great faith. I'm determined to have great faith. I'm going to work on my faith. How do I work on my faith? I have to put the vision of what God's promised in my sight more than I do the circumstances that surround me. What does that mean? That means I have to take his word and I have to digest his word. But did you know that faith is impossible without you speaking? Did you know that? Did you know that you can't get saved with just believing? The Bible says that you must believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Jesus said you have to say unto this mountain, be thou depart. Come on. You have to say, you have to say, you have to say. What we're doing is we're saying what we have rather than saying the vision that God is trying to paint to us through his word. It might look a little bit like this. I'm so stressed out. I'm always stressed out. Oh, the pressure, the pressure, the pressure, the pressure, the pressure. Oh, my God, the pressure, the pressure. You don't understand what pressure I'm under. No, you don't understand the peace you're under. You don't understand the peace that passes all understanding. Because he said that if you'd talk to him and you'd ask him about your specific situations, he'd give you the peace that passes all understanding. It would guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. But you have to think on certain things and not on other things. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand. That's good for you because you're the pastor. That's good for you. No, no. The only way that it works is through faith. And faith is not determined by the office that you hold. It's determined by the heart that you have. Hallelujah. So what do you have to do? You have to speak of the vision when you can't see the provision. When somebody comes up and says, how are you doing? I don't care how you're feeling. You say, well, I'm great in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about denying circumstances, but I'm saying that I see the vision. I see the provision. I see all of my needs met according to his riches and glory. I see the fact that I am not of this earth, and I'm just passing through this anyway. And so it doesn't matter what happens to me here, because I have a home in glory in Jesus' name. I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Come on. It doesn't mean that there aren't circumstances upon the way, but you're walking with the one who's holding your hand. And if you'll walk with him and talk with him, he'll speak to you and give you the very vision to get through what you're going through. Hallelujah. And you may have times where you doubt and you say, okay, God, I understand that you want this to happen, so I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to sleep with my wife's maiden, and we're going to have the baby that way, and maybe it'll happen that way. And God said, I don't think so. That's not it. That's not it. You can't get the glory for my provision. It's going to come through me, and it's going to be miraculous, and you're going to see it, right? You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Yeah, but you don't understand. I don't have an education. I don't have this. I don't have this. Your provision is not limited by your education. Your vision is not limited, or your provision is not limited by the circumstances. Your provision is limited by your vision. And your vision needs to be determined by what he said and what promises he has for you. Come on. In the midst of fear, you can stand in faith with knees shaking, but you're seeing what God has said, and it puts fear to flight. Come on. In the spite of fear, you can believe in faith because God has said, right? Fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. Do you believe that? I believe that. I don't just believe that. I know that. Because I've walked with God and I've become fully persuaded that God is with me. I'm a knucklehead sometimes, but God doesn't give up on me. He stays with me. And if I'm quick enough to repent, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all on my sins and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Glory to God. I am, listen to me. I am right with God. I'm righteous. You say, oh, come on, that sounds like a little pride. It has no pride in it at all. Because I'm not basing my statements on what I've done. I'm basing my statements on what I read about what he did. He became sin for me, who knew no sin, that through his sacrifice in my place, I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, that gives me vision that God can work on my behalf based on what he did, not based on my qualifications on what I did. Years ago, I had an important decision to make, and half of my Christian friends were saying, do this. And the other, all wonderful people, all people of faith, they were saying, no, you can do this. And so it was like, so I was confused. And I went into a pastor's office, and I'd been to counselors, and I remember this one guy said, man, that's a tough choice. You could go either way. See you later. Right? And so I went into George's office. George says, I said, George, you may not be able to help me. You probably can't help me because I'd already talked to people. And he said, well, let's not limit the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, George, here's my situation. I went through the whole thing. And he said, well, you need to hear from God. But at that particular point, I was at a place where I don't know if I hear from God anymore or not, George. And he looked at me, he says, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. He said to me, oh, yes, you do. Why did he say that? Because he knew I was one of his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. Right? He said, what you need to do is get quiet. He said, now I want you to pray as hard and as loud as you can in the Holy Ghost for the next 10 minutes. We're in his office, and his office is thin walls and walls all around. Boy, but him and I got after it for about 10 or 15 minutes. Just praying in the Holy Ghost as loud and as hard as we could. And I said, now just be quiet. I didn't get the answer right then, but I got the method for getting the answer. It's to shut the mind down, get the spirit alive so that it can hear from God again. Right? And in that time, I got this calligraphy framed thing. That was back when calligraphy was good, but it said this. It said the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now see, that person that sent it to me had no idea of what I needed to hear. But it hung on my wall, and every night I'd go in there and I'd look at it. I know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I just keep seeking God. He'll show me where to put the next step, and where to put the next step, and where to put the next step, and where to, and God absolutely used the vision of that scripture to enliven my faith to peace so that I could walk through it, and I became fully convinced that God would answer that prayer, and he did. Right? He did. I said he did. Glory to God. Everything that God has promised you, he wants to fulfill in you. But we have to come back to the place where we're believing God for things again. If we have no vision, we need to say, wait a minute, God, this is not right. This is not how we're supposed to be lived. If we're not believing for multiplying, for seeing God work in our lives, we have to come back to the scripture and say, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. We were in worship this morning, and I just thought to myself, the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says in His name they shall cast out devils. In His name, come on, you shall proclaim the gospel and it will be heard. What I'm saying is that we have to start believing that again and watching God work in our lives, not just in the pastor, not just in the church, but everywhere we go. Do we believe that when God puts somebody before us, when we pray, it's going to make a difference? If you don't have the vision for that, get back into the Word and find the place where that's promised and begin to see the picture of it, so that when the opportunity comes, you'll be fully persuaded that anointing will flow through you in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen? Come on. We have to become fully persuaded. Amen? Did you get something this morning? Are you going to do anything with what we got this morning? I am. Hallelujah. So get your scriptures back out. Get your promises out, back out. Maybe get your prayer journals that are in a box somewhere from 20 years ago. Get them back out and begin to read them again. Begin to see what God was speaking to you then. And then get back on being fully persuaded and let the vision of that begin to germinate, so that the seed of that will produce the harvest that God wants. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are true. I thank you, Lord, that you've anointed me to preach the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that the word has gone forth. And Father, there are ears who have heard what you've said. And in Jesus' name, to all those that are watching online, I just pray that you would receive what God is saying to you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one moving around right now, just for a second, I want you to know that there is a heaven to gain, but there also is a hell to shun. And hell is a place of eternal separation from God, where the Bible talks about it's going to be full of torment. And the Bible says that if you're not right with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's your destination. I don't want anyone to go there, but it's your choice on whether you respond to the gospel, which is simply this: you are a sinner and you're apart from God unless Jesus is Lord of your life. Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're all in the same boat. But it said the way to salvation is to receive the gift that is Jesus by faith. If you're here today, have you figured out that living your life your way for yourself doesn't work? He's here to bring you into His kingdom. All it's going to cost you is everything. You have to yield your life to Him. You have to recognize that your life is not working the way it's going and that you need a Savior. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you did it one time, you said a prayer once, but your life doesn't look like you're living for Him. If you're satisfied with sin, then I would question your heart for Him. If you're here, you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you want to recommit your life to Him and ask for His help, He'll help you. But you've got to sincerely reach out to Him. If that's you this morning, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're online, just raise your hand to the Lord right now. If you're in the room, just lift your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. If you're here today, just raise your hand to Him right now. And repeat this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize that there's no way that I could be holy enough to be in your presence. So I need Jesus to be my Savior. And I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Lord. He's the one who paid the price. I receive the forgiveness that's through his name right now in Jesus' name.